Excuse me. I'll begin this morning with a passage from the Contemplation Sutra. Again, this month, we're recognizing and commemorating the passing of the Buddha, Shakyamuni, over into the other shore. And so we've been each week talking about one of his sermons or the teachings that he gave. So this week we'll be talking about the Contemplation Sutra, one of the very important teachings of the Buddha for our tradition. So I would like to begin today by reading a passage from that sutra. Kyo busatsu kanmuryo jukyo kara itadakimasu. Please join me in gassho. Gassho o onegai shimasu. The Buddha of immeasurable life possesses 84,000 major physical characteristics, each having 84,000 minor marks. Each mark, again, emits 84,000 rays of light. Each ray of light shines over the worlds of the 10 quarters, embracing and never abandoning those beings who are mindful of the Buddha. Muryōjūbutsu no okarada niwa 8万 shisen no sugureta tokoro ga ari, sono sorezore niwa mata 8万 shisen no komakana tokuchou ga sonawatte iru. Sara ni sono sorezore niwa 8万 shisen no koumyō ga ari, sono hitotsu hitotsu no 光明は広くすべての世界を照らして仏を念じる人々を残らず、その中にお納め取り、お捨てになることはないのである。その光明や体の特徴はそして決心の仏について詳しく説くのは Good morning, everyone.
みなさんおはようございます.
Thank you for joining us today. This is our last Dharma service for this particular episode, talking about the life of the Buddha passing into Nirvana. So last week we talked about just before the Buddha passed into Nirvana, he had a visit, an important visitor. Do you remember who that visitor was who went to visit the Buddha? Yeah? Do you know, Kate? Do you remember his name? Do you remember who he was, even if you don't remember his name? He was a prince. And what was kind of special about this prince? Yeah? Finley's got his hand up. He was that he had blisters, that's right. And why did he have blisters? Do you remember, Cameron?
Because he locked his dad in jail.
That's right. That's right. He locked his father in jail, and he felt so badly about it that he got physically sick. He had blisters all over his body, right? Does anyone remember why he would lock his father in jail? What was he trying to do, yeah? Do you remember? So he could be the king. That's right. That's right. Since he was the son of the king, when the king wasn't the king anymore, he got to be the king, right? So last week, we talked about this story and how this king, his name was Ajatasatru, he had locked his father in jail because he had been influenced by a bad influence. Do you remember the name of that bad influence? Anybody remember, Finley? Devadatta, Devadatta. And who is Devadatta? You remember, Nina? You're close, not the Buddha's son. The Buddha's son is Rahula. Do you remember? His cousin, that's right, the Buddha's cousin. Very jealous cousin. He had convinced this prince, Ajatasatru, the king, to throw his father in jail. So last week, when we talked about this story, we talked about it from the perspective of Ajatasatru, right? Talked about his experience getting very sick, having good advice from Jivaka, one of his counselors, gave him good advice, a good friend, advised him to do what? You remember, Phoebe? Go see the Buddha, that's right. So Prince Ajatasattu went and he visited the Buddha. He heard the Buddha's teaching. He was able to turn his life around and find peace of mind. So this week, we're going to talk about this story, but from a different perspective, right? Sometimes when something happens, two people can be part of the same experience and have a very different idea of what happened. So today, we're going to talk about the Contemplation Sutra, and the Contemplation Sutra tells this same story from the perspective of the Buddha's mother, Queen Vaidehi, the queen whose son did this terrible thing, right? And so, just like in the Nirvana Sutra, which we talked about last week, the story begins with Prince Ajatasattu getting some bad advice from the Buddha's cousin, Devadatta, and deciding to throw his father in jail so that he can be king. He can be king. And he gives some orders. He gives some orders to the guards. He says, no food and no water for the king. Right? So if you don't get food and water, what happens?
You'll die.
You'll die, that's right. So how do you think the queen felt about this? The king's wife, how do you think she felt? What do you think, Miles? She was really sad, and she thought, you know what, I have to do something about this. I'm the queen. I have some power. The guards also listen to me. Now, the rule is that you can't bring food and water into the cell where the king is being held, into the prison, but there's no rule that says you can't wear food and water into the jail. So she put on her nicest jewelry. Like, do you see these things hanging here from the Onaijin? Those are kind of like the traditional jewelry that they would wear in the time of the Buddha. So she had these beautiful necklaces and big bracelets. And you see how they sort of have hanging things that sort of look like little cups hanging down? So she filled those up with sweet nectar, kind of like grape juice. Right, so she filled up her jewelry with sweet nectar like grape juice, and then she took a nice shower, she took a bath, and she put on very special makeup that was made out of flour and butter. So she covered her body with this makeup made of flour and butter. She filled her jewelry with grape juice, and then she went in. She said, I'm here to visit my husband, the king. And the guards saw the queen, and they stepped aside. And they let her enter. They thought, wow, she's wearing a lot of makeup today. And her jewelry smells kind of like grapes, right? And so day after day, she would visit the king in this way. And somehow, the king stayed healthy. He was doing just fine. And the guards, of course, they weren't stupid. They kind of caught on, but there's nothing they could do about it because she was the queen. And so a few days pass, and Prince Ajatasattu says, how is my father doing? How's my father doing? He was expecting maybe he'd been getting weaker and weaker, right? And the guards say, well, actually, he's doing pretty well. How could this be? How could he be doing well if he hasn't had any food or drink for about a week? Well, actually, the thing is, your mother has been coming in to visit him every day. And somehow, she comes in and she's wearing a lot of makeup that smells kind of buttery. But when she leaves, the makeup is all gone. And her jewelry seems to be filled with some kind of juice. But when she leaves, the juice is all gone. And what's more, the Buddha's disciples are coming. They have the marvelous ability to pass through walls. And they come every day to teach the Dharma to the king. So he's physically feeling good. Mentally, he's very calm. Could even say he's very happy. And the prince gets so angry. My mother betrays me. She's like a bandit. And so he calls his mother in, and he grabs her by the hair, and he pulls out his sword. He's about ready to hit her with his sword when Jivaka, do you remember Jivaka? Jivaka was the good minister in the story that I told last week who advised the Buddha to go, advised Ajatasattu, the king, to go visit the Buddha. This time too, Jivaka has good advice for Ajatasattu. He says, stop, wait. This is not something befitting of a king. This is something that a bandit would do. If you do this, you are no longer the king. Many kings in the past have thrown their father in jail so that they could be king. This has happened. But no king in history has ever injured his mother. If you do this, we're quitting. We're leaving. We will no longer serve you as ministers. And so Prince Ajatasattu, when he heard this, he realized, well, I can't run the country without my ministers. And he kind of came to his senses a little bit. And he said, okay. He dropped his sword, but he said, okay, throw my mother in jail too. Okay, so he throws his mother in jail, a separate jail this time. So his mother is in jail. She's been thrown in jail by her own son. How do you think she felt? Yeah, what do you think, Phoebe? Kind of disappointed, yeah. She was very, very upset, actually. She cries, she's weeping, and she calls to the Buddha. She calls to the Buddha. Now remember, the Buddha had marvelous hearing. He could hear anybody who was having a hard time. So she calls to the Buddha. She says, oh Buddha, send your disciple Ananda. Remember Ananda? He was the Buddha's constant companion. And Ananda was very kind. And he would often visit the queen and share the Buddha's teachings with him. So they had a special friendship. She said, please send your disciple Ananda to come and comfort me and give me some teachings. I'm so miserable. And the Buddha hears this. The Buddha was so kind that not only did he send his disciples, but the Buddha appeared himself. Marvelously, he appeared right there in this jail cell before the queen. And when she saw him, she was so surprised that she immediately took off her jewels. Because you wear your jewels, you feel really special. But she felt, I'm so humble. I shouldn't wear all these fancy things in front of the Buddha and pretend I'm such a great person. I should just be myself. So she took off all her fancy jewelry. She bowed down at the feet of the Buddha. And weeping, she said, the Buddha, how could this world be so bad? How could my son be so mean to me and his own father? How could your own cousin, Devadatta, what kind of karmic conditions could make it that someone so wonderful as you could have someone so horrible as Devadatta for a cousin? Please, please share a teaching with me that will bring me peace of mind in this very difficult time. And so then the Buddha, he showed her something marvelous. He showed her a world free from fear, free from anger, free from greed, anger, and ignorance. She got a glimpse of this beautiful world, this world that we call the Pure Land of Amida Buddha, the world where everyone is kind and caring for one another. And hearing this, she said, thank you. Now that I'm here with you, I could see this world thanks to you. But how can other people who aren't here right now, after you're gone, how will they be able to hear this? How will they be able to find the comfort that I found through your teachings? And then the Buddha told her, he gave her instructions. This is how you can visualize or contemplate this world. And that's why this sutra is called the Contemplation Sutra. And he begins describing how very good people can come to understand the teaching of the Buddha. But he doesn't just stop with very good people. He goes on and talks about kind of so-so people. Right? People who are pretty good, they mean well, but you know, they just don't make it to the temple every Sunday. Right? People who really mean well, you know, they really, really do their best, but sometimes they get road rage when they're driving their car. You know, they shout and they scream in the car at other people, right? And more, he describes all kinds of people until he gets down to what we call the lowest of the low. People who've committed the five grave offenses. The five grave offenses. Has anybody heard of the five grave offenses? They're five really bad things, okay? They include killing an arhat, an enlightened disciple of the Buddha, causing blood to flow from the body of the Buddha, right? Causing arguments within the Sangha, within the community. That's one of the worst things you can do, is cause a fight among people in the temple, right? And someone who kills their father and kills their mother. These are the five worst things that a person could do. And the Buddha says, even these people, even people who are that bad, can turn their lives around. If they meet a good teacher, like Jivaka, right? Jivaka was a good teacher who guides them to hear the teachings of the Buddha, to entrust their lives to the Buddha. Not to trust their own selfish thinking, but to trust the wisdom and compassion of the Buddha and to say, Namo Amida Butsu. These words, Namo Amida Butsu, that we say over and over again here at the temple, they're found in the Contemplation Sutra. It's of the three Pure Land Sutras, the only one that contains those actual words. Say, Namo Amida Butsu. Right? So the Buddha gives this advice to Queen Vaidehi. And when she hears this, her life is transformed. Her life is transformed. And how is it changed? How is it changed? Eventually, remember, the king dies. The king passes away. Ajatasattu feels very, very bad about that. So he lets the queen out of jail. But he continues to feel worse and worse, right? He gets sicker and sicker. And do you remember what the queen did when he was sick? Did she say, you were so mean to you, this serves you right? Did she say that? No? Do you remember, Miles? No? She gave him medicine, right? She gave her son medicine, trying to cure those blisters, right? It didn't work. It didn't work because he said that my illness is in my heart, remember? So he had to have a change of heart, but his mother still tried to help him. She still cared for him. This is an amazing story. Think about it. If someone threw you in jail, threw your husband in jail, and then your husband died, wouldn't you just hate that person? Wouldn't you be so mad at them? But she was able to be compassionate towards her son because of this teaching that she had heard from the Buddha. And then through this kindness that Ajatasattu receives from his mother and Jivaka, he recognizes this teaching of the Buddha is something so special. I bet it can help me too. So what does he do? Then he travels to see the Buddha, right? So Shinran Shonin, the founder of our tradition, he says that all of these characters, Queen Vaidehi, Ajatasattu, Devadatta, he says all of these characters are incarnated bodhisattvas. Do you know what a bodhisattva is? A bodhisattva is a being who comes into this world, who returns to this world from the world of enlightenment to help guide us to our own understanding. So Shinran says it's like they're players putting on a play for all of us to see and understand the great compassion of the Buddha, right? And so when we hear this story and think about the Nembutsu, let us recognize that all of us have a tendency to maybe get angry, maybe a little bit, maybe sometimes a lot. We all make mistakes. We may even harm other people that we love and we care about. But through the Nembutsu, through the Buddha's compassion, we can turn our lives around. And when our lives are transformed, we find great peace of mind. And we express that joy in the words, Namo Amida Butsu, the teaching of the Nembutsu. 念仏というのは悪く出会った心が展開して自分の悪さ、自分の間違った心、 気づいて、これはいけませんということ。この私の自力、私の計らいによって次々と間違ってきたから、正しい方向に向きを変えないといけないこと。その向きを変えるというのは仏様に任せる。仏様に任せたら、そして導かれて正しい方向に行くことになり、それが幸せへの道であるんですね。これは信心を得る、信心をいただくということですね。世の中にいろいろな悪い間違ったことをしている人が周りにいるんですけど、最も大切なのは私がどういうふうに生きていることを気づいて、間違ったところを認めて、そして転回して仏様の導きに身を任せるというのは信心をいただくというお心ですね。
So in conclusion, I'll once again read these words from the Contemplation Sutra, these words which describes the Buddha's compassion that embraces all beings, the good and the evil, and guides them to enlightenment. I invite you to join me in Gassho. Gassho, onegai shimasu. The Buddha of immeasurable life possesses 84,000 major physical characteristics, each having 84,000 minor marks. Each mark again emits 84,000 rays of light. Each ray of light shines over the worlds of the 10 quarters, embracing and never abandoning those beings who are mindful of the Buddha.
Namo Amida Butsu. 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 Namo. 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 Namo.